You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. Oh, we're so happy that you're here. We are celebrating around here because this week is a very special and important week. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we have some good news. I love good news. I just do. I love it. And this week, we are nominated for the Red Carpet Award show in Holland. It's coming up. We have 7 nominations at the 2021 Red Carpet Awards show in Holland. And we just thank the Lord that people enjoy our music all throughout Europe and this show all throughout Europe. And this is a tremendous honor. We're nominated for Best Radio or TV Program for this show. And we're nominated for Best Radio, TV, or Internet Host for me. And that is truly a humbling honor. Thank you. Best Music Video, Best Folk Original, Best Gospel Christian Cover Song, Best Native American Style, and Best Americana Cover. So we're all excited that in Holland and across Europe, this great honor has come to us and to this show, and we thank the Lord for that, and we truly appreciate the Red Carpet Awards show in Holland, and all of you who are our friends in Europe, who nominate us, who choose us, who listen to us and support what we do. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But wait, there's more. There's more good news because we have a tremendous guest with us. Someone who changes lives, heals hearts, and does it all with such humility and wisdom. We're so glad that he's here. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Colin Jones, and I am the pastor of the Advent United Church of Christ Church, which is right here in Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome to our show. I'm so happy you joined us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, I know that you're always doing amazing things, and so I can't wait to hear about the initiatives you're working on right now.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. I genuinely do.
So what are you doing these days? What initiatives are you working on?
Well, that's a huge question. So yeah, let me go ahead and start off by saying that I am in a doctoral program at the United Theological Seminary in Dayton, Ohio. And my focus is on a paradigm shift. The title of my project is called A Paradigm Shift, A Model for Clergy and Congregations to Partner and Adopt Holistic Approaches to Health and Wellness.
Mm-hmm.
The overall focus is on health and wellness, and the genesis behind this program is November 14th, 2019, I had a heart attack.
Oh my.
Yeah, I was 41 years old. My left coronary artery was 80% blocked, and my right was 100% blocked, and I now have 4 stents in me.
Mm.
And I, that moment changed my life forever. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I have made it my mission in life to, number one, while I was in the hospital, I was, you know, speaking to the Lord and shared how I want to be a heart advocate. And I've done, I've been doing my life's work is to partner with other people and improve the quality of life for people, particularly within my congregation. Mm-hmm. And so I, for my doctoral program, and I'm in the middle of my research program at my church, we have started a Inside Out Health Initiative. The Inside Out Health Initiative is designed for me, actually, even though it is, we have about 15, 16 participants in the program. I tried to create a program that would be beneficial to me. I have been up and down the roller coaster ride when it comes mm-hmm. to my health as it pertains to, you know, weight loss. You know, I would lose weight and then gain weight, lose mm-hmm. weight and gain weight. Over over many years, I'm not going to say how much, but over many years. And so, as I sat and reflected on what would have been helpful for me to achieve my goals, I separated it out into three parts: mental health, physical health, and spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, my focus has always been just physical. Just mm-hmm. what it looked like, just what I look like on the outside.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. not taking into consideration that when it comes to living your best life, when it comes mm-hmm. to living your most healthy life, it is far more than just physical. For me, it is mental, spiritual, and physical. And so this program, this Inside Out Health Initiative, what does health look like from the inside out?
Mm-hmm.
And so the program participants, they are participating in a 6-week program that's designed to introduce them to concepts, and hopefully towards the end, they will be able to, you know, be able to answer the question, how has this program contributed to your overall quality of life? I'm looking to explore to what degree are individuals willing to incorporate healthier behaviors in their life. I'm looking to explore to what degree are people willing to change lifestyle habits and adopt a new holistic lifestyle. So that's the program in a nutshell, and we can definitely get into specifics as well.
I'm looking forward to those specifics, especially because right now I think we have a renewed focus on health and wellness, don't we, as a culture?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely do. And we, you know, we've seen over the decades the changes. Let's just pick something simple, even in our when we go out to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants are noticing a market for providing healthier, not necessarily healthy, but healthier mm-hmm. options, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even your fast foods restaurants are offering healthier options. So we as a society, we are slowly but surely, you know, transitioning to and adopting more healthier options, whether that's, you know, if you want to be vegetarian or, you know, vegan. More and more movies or documentaries are being produced to, you know, cater to a growing segment within the population. And mm-hmm. same here with me, you know, as well. I have begun to adopt another way of eating so that I can live healthier, so that the quality of my life can be, you know, improved as well. And when mm-hmm. I ask the question to myself, Colin, do you want to pastor a healthy congregation? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying yes. And so the question that I pose back to myself is, well, what are you doing to model responsible behavior in front of the congregation. If it is to be, it is up to me. I have to be an exemplar of what it is that I am, what it is that I'm trying to promote. For example, when I had my heart attack, which was in November, we had a New Year's Eve service, a watch night service, we had a potluck style dinner before service began. And my wife shared with me before we began, before we left the house, she said, "Colin, there's probably not going to be any food for you to eat there."
Oh, wow.
And so I made sure I ate, you know, before I left. And when I got to the church, she was right. There was nothing there for me to eat. And there were some individuals that were a little bit bothered that the pastor didn't have anything there for him to eat. And one of the individuals came up to me and she said, "You know, Pastor, I'm very sorry. We'll make sure that whenever we eat together communally, that we'll always make sure that there's a healthier option there for you." And I said, "You know, I appreciate that genuinely." And it came up again in our council meeting. And I shared with them, I genuinely appreciate you all's thoughts and you all's genuine care and concern for me. However, this can't be just about me. That what we're talking about here, a cultural shift within our congregation, that whenever we eat communally, that we have to provide healthier options for everyone beyond just a salad, right?
Right.
So if you have, you know, fried chicken, make sure that you have baked chicken right next to it, right?
Yeah.
Or even if there's another option, you could air fry, you know, the chicken if you still want that, particular, you know, taste or whatever like that. So we have to learn how to be creative and to present more healthier options, not just for me who's the pastor, but my concern is for everyone. And long term, my long term vision is, because the Black church has played a significant role in the fight against racism and the fight for civil rights throughout this country, because the Black church has played a significant role in advocating for Black and brown people in this country. So likewise, the Black church can play a universal role in advocating for the health within the Black community in particular, but everywhere. And it starts, you know, it starts with us. You know, if we can be a healthier congregation, then those families, once they leave, you know, the church, how will that affect, you know, how they cook in their own home, and how will that affect, you know, their families as well? Because oftentimes we eat based on how we grew up.
Right.
Right? We don't question. We just inherently, you know, eat, you know, how we grew up. And so we have the potential here to change lives. We have the potential to change communities as well. So that is my heart, to play a role in not just identifying the problem. We can all identify a problem, right? My role, as I see it, is not just to identify a problem, but what can I do to provide a solution to the problem? And so this is one way that we are tackling it, through mental, physical, and spiritual health.
Wow. What comes to mind right away is love one another. And my granddaddy used to say love has arms and legs. And that was his way of saying that love is a verb. It's what you do. And that's what comes to my mind, that you're actually showing love for one another through those healthier choices and helping everyone else to lead healthier lives and having plenty that is healthy, and modeling that for your congregation, and then they'll model it for the community and each other, right?
Yes.
And I think
I will add to what your grandfather said. You said your grandfather, right?
Right. Yeah.
I will add to what your grandfather said as he talked about love of neighbor. Mm-hmm. It is also love of self.
That
as we adopt healthier behaviors and how it has the potential to affect our families and our communities, but it is also love of self, that I love me enough to be mindful of my health. I love me enough, and loving self is not selfish, right? Loving self, and as a matter of fact, it is a commandment to love yourself, right? Jesus talks about to love your neighbor as yourself. That we focus a lot on loving neighbor, and that's a very good principle to enact in one's life. But the qualifier is as yourself. And when we look at the world in which that we live in today, are we genuinely loving ourselves? Are we being good to ourselves? Are we taking care of ourselves? I used to serve in hospice for 6 years, and oftentimes, and I get it. Oftentimes, when someone is actively dying, and the family is there, and the family doesn't want their loved one to be alone, absolutely, without question. But what we found is that many times the loved one has been in the room for hours, right? And hasn't eaten anything, hasn't drank anything. They're just so focused on the other. And oftentimes when you're so focused on the other, you neglect self. And genuinely, you really can't be all that the other person needs you to be when you're neglecting yourself. And so what we have often tried to do is we ask those questions, you know, have you used the bathroom, right?
Oh, wow.
Have you eaten something? So loving self is absolutely important. My son, my daughter, she's off to school, and my oldest, he graduated from school, but my youngest son, he's still in the house right now, so I'll just use him as an example. My son cannot benefit from all that I am if I don't take care of myself.
Wow.
I can't be a support to him at his swim meet. I can't go to his high school event. I can't help him with his homework or even making sure that he's doing his homework if I am not taking care of myself. My wife can't be, she can't have the freedom to do whatever it is that she wants to do or needs to do if I'm not taking care of myself. My daughter, who is in Atlanta, Georgia, her second year at Emory University, you know, if I'm not taking care of myself, you know, she's not able to benefit truly from interaction, you know, with me. So love of self is absolutely foundational to loving neighbor, to loving my congregation. My congregation can't be all that it can be in terms of benefiting from the gifts that God has given me to impart into them if I'm not loving myself. And so it's a partnership, right? It's a partnership between love of self and love of neighbor. And as they love themselves, they can be a benefit to the congregation as well as their families. But love of self is foundational to loving neighbor. So I echo what your grandfather has shared with you, and to add to that, loving self is absolutely paramount, and we talk about that in the program when it comes to self-care and how important, how valuable self-care is, and self-care contributes to the overall quality of one's life.
So well said and so well spoken that I think now is a good time to talk a little bit about culture too. I'm thinking, for example, in church culture, not necessarily the Christianity that we're given in the Bible, but church culture. We celebrate selflessness.
Yeah.
and burnout, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, Sister so-and-so, she never takes a moment for herself. She just always working in the church. And, oh, Grandma and Papa were just so, oh, they never even took a sick day. They were just so great. And they never thinks about themselves or never would even care, always putting others first. And everyone nods and says, amen. And we kind of contribute. Like, and then if somebody says, I'm not coming to choir practice because I'm just exhausted. You know, like one day somebody asked me why I wasn't going to do something. I said, I had a baby. I have a newborn. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, you mean you're going to miss the revival? I'm going to bed. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. And so we have a culture sometimes, and even the secular culture, grind culture, hustle culture, get you 10 jobs and never sleep, you know, and stuff like that. Does that take us away from a healthy version of self-care?
Without question. You are just right on it, and you are just right on it. And that's the title of my project. The first two words was a paradigm shift.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Paradigm shift that we as clergy, to buy into, to continue to tag into what you said, we as clergy, we inherit a system of self-sacrifice. Where we sacrifice ourselves, we sacrifice our health, we sacrifice our families, all in the name of service to the church. And I'm saying no. I'm saying no, that we should not be doing that, because it takes away from our overall quality of life. Ask many preachers' kids, for example. Many preachers' kids don't want to have anything to do with the church. Why? Because they felt like their parent, whether their father or their mother, whoever was serving in the capacity of clergy, they felt like their parent put the church before them. And it's not just a one-time thing, not just a few times. We're talking about over the breadth of of their childhood growing up, right? That the church was, the perception was that the church was more important. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. Within the church, you know, Sister so and so is always here. Brother so and so is always, you know, on the move. Doesn't neglect self for the sake of serving others. And that's it's something that, you're right, it is uplifted, it is heralded, and it is praised. And it is up to us as the leaders within the congregation to show another way. That yes, you can be a great support to the congregation, and you can serve other people, but what does it look like also for you to take time for yourself? Mm-hmm. What does it look like for you to say and model responsible behavior in front of your children that says, hey, you know, we do have to take breaks. We do have to do this. And guess what? If the work doesn't get done, then perhaps the work doesn't get done. Because oftentimes we feel like we have to do this or we have to do this because if I don't do it, then it's not going to get done.
Right.
Well, that might be a possibility, but guess what? You know, then it may not get done then.
Mm-hmm.
And it may need that other people need to step up, and perhaps the reason why only one person is doing such and such a thing is because you're the only one that's doing it, and other people need to step up too. It's a team. It's a team approach. It cannot all just lie on one person's shoulders. And we're talking about quality of life here. We're talking about being happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about having joy, right? As opposed to you have you're working with this person and they constantly have an attitude or they're snapping at you. Why? Because they're overworked, they're overburdened, they're burnt out. And is that what God wants? Really? Does God want us to be overburdened and snappy at folk and burnt out? There's an article that I read. I believe Matthew Sloka was the author, and he wrote this article called "Quitting the Paint Factory," And he talks about how we worship at the church of work.
Yes.
And how it is heralded where people gather around in circles and they just talk about how, you know, they haven't slept, you know, or only operate on four or five hours of sleep or something like that, because they're working, they're doing this, they're doing that. And I see snippets of people who are wealthy, you know, on social media, and they talk about, you know, if you're asleep, you know, for 8 hours, then other people are hustling even more. So in terms of the acquisition of more things and more wealth and more resources, you know, working until I run into you in hospice. And there was a nurse in hospice who wrote the top five regrets of the dying. And one of the things was, I wish I didn't work so much. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish that I would have enjoyed life more, right? And so I understand the desire and in some instances the need to do whatever you have to do to survive and to thrive. I get that. But what I'm after here is an overall quality of life. And you can have the wealth and all the resources and still be upset, still be not happy. I mean, just look at our celebrities who have so much wealth, so much resources, but they're still addicted to drugs. You know, they've still got all kinds of drama in their life. Uh-huh. They're still getting a divorce because of this or because of that. So what I'm after is an overall quality of life. And if you can achieve those things and at the same time have a moral balance, then more power to you. But how is your mental health? Mm-hmm. How is your spiritual health? Mm-hmm. How is your physical health? How is your physical well-being? That is just as important. So in the program, we're focusing on 2 weeks of it, 2 weeks of each. So the first 2 weeks we talked about mental health.
Okay.
I preached a sermon on two consecutive Sundays, and then we had a focus group two Wednesdays to talk about mental health. And I had an individual licensed professional counselor come in to begin to talk about, you know, what does mental health look like? I had to evolve into, you know, what my original plan was. My original plan was I wanted everyone to go to counseling. But my mentors were telling me you can't do that because you have HIPAA violations. If you ask them, you know, you have to ask them what do they talk about in their counseling, right? And so for the sake of my research, I couldn't mandate that. So I said, okay, we're going to do a group council format, right? So we're all together and we're going to be talking about those things. But how it evolved into, we just had someone come in and start to introduce, just begin the conversation on mental health. And what does that look like for you? What does that look like? What does that look like, you know, for your family? How are you? For example, I have a strong attachment, an unhealthy attachment to food, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I have not been successful at some of the goals that I have set for my physical body was because I kept sabotaging my goals. Colin, why are you sabotaging your goals? Well, that's where the mental health comes in, because I have this pain, you know, from the past that I've been trying to fill through food, through desserts, et cetera. So as soon as my trainer, she would tell me, until you get at that, until you get at the reason, the underlying reason why you're sabotaging your goals, you're not going to be able to achieve success in this particular area as well. So we focused in on mental health and what does that look like? What does that mean? And just because you go see a counselor, just because you go to someone to help process the pain and process the struggle, doesn't mean that you're crazy.
Right. Thank you.
Doesn't mean that you're crazy at all. And this is the point that I love, and you can be spiritual and go to counseling at the same time.
Thank you.
And it does not contradict mm-hmm. each other. I love Jesus. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jesus.
Yes,
but I believe that God has imparted wisdom and knowledge into human beings mm-hmm. that have spent their professional career devoted to this particular area that can help walk me through this process, right? So it's not in contradiction. It is in partnership with, right? And so mm-hmm. Helping people to understand that, yes, you can pray, absolutely pray, but also go talk to somebody too.
I love that you're saying that. I really love that you're saying that, because when Martha was very, very frustrated and said to Jesus,
yes,
make my sister help me, he didn't say, well, you know, Martha, what you need to do, really, honey, is pray more. You know, time to fast.
Oh.
He actually counseled her and showed her what was wrong. He actually helped her to understand. He said, you know, Mary has chosen this good part, and we're not going to take that away from her. And he actually counseled her into a better state of mind.
Yeah.
And now prayer is so wonderful. We got to do it. You know, reading our Bible, church, all those things, we're going to do those. But if we can have some wise counsel in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And
there is safety.
There is. And as we go to commercial right now, I just want to say this. Jesus took naps.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a quiet place to rest, right?
Yeah.
There was a storm happening. He was asleep in the boat. You know? So
yeah.
I'm not saying we don't want to get in a ditch either way. Like, don't quit your job and sleep all day and say Jesus took naps.
Yeah,
but
we
also have to understand that Jesus understood rest. God created a Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And so all of this, you know, all of this contributes to the abundant life that Jesus wants us all to have. So when we come right back from commercial, I am so excited to hear more about this amazing initiative and the specifics of it, and then all of this great conversation that we're having. Stay right there, folks. We'll be right back.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun. Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at SeizeTheAwkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me, I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave you.
What an amazing conversation about a fantastic initiative with a fabulous leader. Would you please introduce yourself once again to all of us?
Yes, good evening. Hello, everyone. My name is Colin Jones, and I am the co-pastor of the Advent United Church of Christ Church right here in Columbus, Ohio.
This is incredible. This conversation is necessary, and it's needed, and it's healing. And I would love it. I know you have the opportunity to preach to your congregation directly, but right now we have friends listening from all over the world. And I would be so blessed if you would speak directly to our friends and encourage and bless them about some of these things that we're discussing today that might help and heal them.
Yes, it is my profound desire that you live your best life.
Mm-hmm.
It is my profound desire that your quality of life is enhanced and improved. And it is not up to anyone for that to take place. It is purely up to you. You have the power to make it happen. And don't get out of sorts when I say power. You do have the power to make it happen. Power just simply means that you have the ability to act, that you have the ability to influence. So you have the power, step by step, to change, to radically change your life forever. You have the power to improve and enhance the quality of your life. You have the power, you have the ability to enhance your mental well-being by not keeping it deep down and bottled up on the inside of you, but allowing it to come out of you by processing it out with someone who is able to hold your tears, who is able to hold your pain, who is able to hold your struggle. There is someone, if you can identify someone that you trust, you have the ability to do that. That's for your own mental well-being, right? In addition to your overall mental well-being, you have the power to take hold of your physical health. You have the power when it comes to getting your body moving and exercising on a consistent basis. And that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, spend all kinds of money at the gym. You can do little things. You can go for a walk in your neighborhood. You can go to a park. You can take a jog. You can do push-ups. You can do things that you need to do within your own home to get your body moving. That's the main thing. And yes, if you can go to a gym, go to a gym. If you can, whatever you can do, make sure that you implement those things in your life on a consistent basis. But oftentimes people get discouraged when it comes to not seeing results. And you can work out until you're blue in the face, but if you don't adjust your nutrition, if you don't adjust how you eat, then you're not going to experience the kind of life-changing results that you're looking for. And I'm not talking about a diet. Diets work, but diets are short-term, right? Diets are short-term. So if your diet is an egg and a watermelon and a 4-ounce piece of fish, you might lose some weight, but that's not sustainable, right? Uh-huh. And so you need to increase your awareness and your knowledge of nutrition so that you can live the quality of life that you can. And as my doctor has shared with me, your food is your medicine.
Yes.
Your food is your medicine. So Even though I take X amount of pills twice a day because of my, you know, because of my heart condition, I am able to, as I continue to change 180 my lifestyle, I am able to come off of some of my medication, and at best I can decrease the dosage of my medication because food is my medicine and can prevent further or future challenges down the road. And then also, finally, also your spiritual health is just as important. They all work together. And when I talk about spirit, yes, I'm talking about your connection to divinity, whoever you are, but I'm also talking about your overall person, right? Your overall person. My son, he had, my oldest son, he has ADD. And uh-huh. when we didn't learn that until he was in high school. And we went to a school for a specialized session, and the headmaster said at school, he said, your job, and it was difficult for me to swallow, I'll be honest with you. Uh-huh. He said, your job is to make sure, not that your son or your daughter graduates with straight A's, your job is to make sure that your son or your daughter graduates with their spirit still intact.
Uh-huh.
With their spirit still intact. He wasn't talking about prayer. He wasn't talking about, you know, reading scripture. He was talking about your overall person, that your son and your daughter, they need to understand that no matter what happens, that they are in, that they are, that they have the kind of self-esteem that they need to keep on going, that they're surrounded by love and support. And so when I'm talking about spirit, I'm talking about your entire person, that you do need to take that time for you, that you do need to lavish love upon yourself, that you do need to do what you can to rest your body and your mind, et cetera. All of it works in tandem with each other. So you can do it. You can make it happen because there's no one else that can do it for you. And I want your overall quality of life to be improved. I want you to have a joy that you cannot articulate, but it becomes infectious. And it empowers other people to want to do the same.
Amen. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Okay. Where do we start? Right? I mean, think about the New Year's resolution phenomenon. People say stuff like, I'm going to change. New year, new me. I'm going to change my life. And then by January 3rd, it just melted down. And so how do we start?
It's a great, significant question. I remember Dave Chappelle when he was asked a question by an audience member. It was a new comedian. He wanted to ask Dave Chappelle about things that he needs to learn before he gets started. And Dave Chappelle just said, just get started. Just get started. Oftentimes we wait until it's the first of the week. You know, it's Monday, that's when I'm going to start. Or I'm going to start at the beginning of the month, or I'm going to start New Year's. That's when I'm going to start. But also, I learned this principle, when the pain begins to outweigh the pleasure, that's when people usually make changes, when the pain outweighs the pleasure. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to that point.
No, thank you.
Where there is so much pain that I'm forced into a position. Unfortunately, I lived that out when it came to me having a heart attack. That was the wake up call for me to start making adjustments. And here's the thing: you don't have to have everything in place before you get started. When it comes to living a healthier lifestyle, for example, you can say, you know what? I usually drink 5 Cokes once a week, right? You can start by decreasing the amount of Coca-Cola that you drink or sodas in general that you drink, high sugary drinks that you drink, and you can increase your water intake. Right? I don't like the taste of water. They got flavored water out there. Right? They do. They really do, right? You can start you can start small when it comes to, I love going out to eat. I genuinely love going out to eat. But I began to take an assessment of my life, and I began to realize that most of the time I go out to eat, it's because I didn't properly plan at home what I was going to eat.
Right.
And so because I didn't plan before I left the house, then I didn't leave the food, and I didn't leave my house with food to prepare for the day in terms of lunch or whatever, dinner or whatever like that, then I'm automatically going out to eat. And so making sure that I leave the house with a plan, that I prepare my food, what I do is I prepare my food for the week, that increases my probability of not going out to eat. And on the backside, it saves me money at the same time. So when it comes to getting started, just start trying to make adjustments here and there. Uh-huh. And as you begin to get small successes, then you can make larger jumps. You can start going out for a walk in your neighborhood. What's also helpful is if it's not just you, but it's a family change, right? If you're the one who's always exercising and you don't like being by yourself doing it, encourage somebody or see if somebody can go with you, right? Because we're communal people, right? We like doing things with others. So try to encourage somebody or see if somebody's willing to go on a walk with you, go on a jog with you, go on a run with you. Just get started and watch how when you begin to take a step here, a step there, you'll be able to see the quality of your life being improved. You'll be able to see how you begin to change. Watch videos of encouragement, right? Not of the extreme sort, right? Not, Colin, you look this way, and so you're putting the rock as your example, right? No, like he gets up at 4 o'clock every single day because his lifestyle his livelihood depends on how his physique looks, right?
That's right.
So choosing more realistic examples for inspiration, if that is something that you need or look for, but just get started. Start by making small changes every day. I'm not going to for this week. I'm going to commit to not to frying food. That's chicken. That's pork chops. Etc. Or if you still want that taste, invest in an air fryer, because that'll give you another option. But please make sure that you take off the skin. Just there are little things that you can do to make adjustments so that you can live a healthier lifestyle. Try talking with someone whom you trust. You can't trust everybody.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know if, in terms of employment, if they offer discounts when it comes to mental health. Is there someone that you can trust that you can get out that which you have been bottling up on the inside of you? You got to get it out of you. You can't keep it bottled up on the inside, because that also decreases your quality of life. Take some time to rest your body. I preached a message on Sabbath rest. And the particular gentleman that I focused on, his name was Walter Brueggemann, but he talked about getting out of the rat race of life. And when you take the time to get out of the rat race of life, that in and of itself is an act of resistance.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to use my brother-in-law as an example to take time away for yourself. Every week, he is a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Absolutely loves the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everyone in the family knows that when the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing, you don't call him.
Right.
You don't go over to his house, right? Even if you like it, even if you don't like it, he's not going to return your call or pick up the phone while the Pittsburgh Steelers are fed. He is totally devoted and focused on the Pittsburgh Steelers, whoever they are playing. He has parsed out segments of his day to make sure that nothing takes place during those hours. And so likewise, can you do the same? Can you not necessarily watch the football game, but can you parse out segments of your day on a consistent basis to rest and to be still, or to partake in an activity that you enjoy doing? What does Sabbath look like for me, who is who works two jobs, right? Mm-hmm. I work two jobs. I have a full-time job at Ohio State Medical Center, and I am a pastor of a church as well. I am married. I have kids. I'm in school full-time. What does rest look like for me? I may not be able to take a full 24 hours out of the week, as some of my clergy colleagues are able to do. But what can I do? I can't do that, but I can take moments of pause on a consistent basis for the quality of my life. I can pull back from some things, some responsibilities, and say, hey, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be the one to reach out to folks, family or friends, all the time. I'm in the process right now of renegotiating relationships, renegotiating family and friends, because I'm not going to be the only one making this happen. And guess what? If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. And because I have made that choice for me, I don't want to be in one-sided relationships anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of my life has improved.
Yes.
It really has. Because I'm loving me. I need me. I want to be happy, and if that means that I'm not going to be the primary one reaching out to you, then that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So just get started and watch how your overall quality of life will be improved step by step. And hey, just like, you know, when I use this analogy when it comes to addicts, you know, you had a beer, and so you drank. As a result of you having a beer, you're so full of shame that you drink the whole pack. Right? Like in this scenario, like, no, okay, you had a beer. You made a mistake. You fell off the bandwagon. You don't have to drink the whole pack. You can get right back on. And so when it comes to living a healthier lifestyle, okay, you went out to eat. You blew your goal for the day. But that doesn't mean that you have to blow the next 2 weeks to get back on the saddle. No, you can. You know what? Be gracious to yourself, right? Be patient with yourself. As my trainer would say, Colin, you've been living and eating this kind of way for 30 years. You're not going to be able to turn it around in 2 months. So just get started.
Mm-hmm.
Be gracious to yourself. Be patient with yourself. Continue to lavish the love upon yourself. And recognize that no matter who doesn't tell you, you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve to be happy. You deserve to live in peace. You deserve to be healthy. You deserve the best.
Wow. That is amazing. What are your goals for this initiative?
My overall goal is, after this program is over, to figure out a way to incorporate this program after this program is over at the church. So here's what I mean. The vision for Advent, in terms of where we're going to be evolving to, is health is the lens through which I see and I do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So are you healthy in your body? Are you healthy in your mind? Are you healthy in your spirit? But here's another thing. Are you healthy in your finances?
Right.
What does that look like? Are you healthy? Are you just hoping and praying that that loan is going to go through? Or are you assured that that loan is going to go through because your credit is good, right? Are you healthy in your finances? Are you healthy when it comes to your family relationships? Do you have a healthy relationship with your children? Do you have a healthy relationship with your parents? Do you have a healthy relationship with other members of your family and friends? Are you healthy on your job, right? So all of these factors contribute to the overall quality of our life. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get along with everybody. Please, I hope your listeners don't interpret me saying that, you know, being healthy means that I get along with everyone in my family or friends. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean, what am I doing to contribute to the quality of that relationship? Making an assessment of the relationship. Is this relationship providing value to me?
Mm-hmm.
Is this relationship adding to my person, or is it taking away from my person, right? I've had to do that, and it's difficult. It doesn't mean that you cut off family and friends. In some cases, it may. But what I have done, I have made an assessment. You know what, Colin? What's going to contribute to the quality of my life? Is it adding to it, or is it subtracting from it? And I may have to pull myself back. Right? So health is the lens through which that I see and I do ministry and how I connect with people overall. So when it comes to, you know, this Inside Out Health Initiative, my desire, number one, is to see how I can implement it into the overall vision of the church. Number two, I'm more than likely going to go back to school to get my master's in public health. One of the chapters that I wrote in my dissertation was public health, and I researched the trans-theoretical model or the change theory. And it's one thing for me to talk about health as it pertains to my church, but it's another thing to talk about health as it pertains to the community in which mm-hmm. that my church resides in. So let's just take something really fun. Let's just say, hey, the top three contributors to cardiovascular disease are hypertension or high blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes, right? In some instances within our church, there are people who have all three. Right. Mm. So let's just take nutrition, for example, and you take it to the community. I want you all to live. I want you all to eat in a nutritional, sound way. That sounds really good. But let's talk about access to quality grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's talk about how in many communities there are food deserts. Right. Where I live within a 2 to 3 mile radius, there are 5 or 6 grocery stores.
Yes.
On top of one another, right? But in other communities, you can't find a grocery
None.
Store
mm-hmm.
that close, right? Let alone 1 or 2, right? I got 5 over here.
Mm-hmm.
So what access do they have? They have the corner store, right? And so the corner store may not have the quality of food that you would need. And then it's an economic issue because the corner store is going to be more expensive, right? And so let's say you go to a grocery store and it's far cheaper to feed your family on food that does not provide
right.
a good sense of nutritional value versus the other versus, you know, going to grocery shopping. You want to provide in a good nutritional way, but it's far more expensive. Right. So mm-hmm. So for me, when I start to talk about nutritional intake and the health of our community, I want to speak from an informed perspective. And again, I'm all about solutions, right? So I don't want to just identify a problem, but I want to be able to provide a solution. And so one way to do that for me is to continue to equip myself with as much information as possible so that I can make it palatable to other people as well.
This whole conversation is transformational leadership, and I certainly thank you for it. And for those who may want to visit your church or get involved in what you're doing or learn more about you or connect with you or have similar ideas and want to join you in thought, how can they?
Yeah, I appreciate you you raising that. So our church is located in Columbus, Ohio, on the northeast side of Columbus, Ohio. Our address is 2303 North Cassidy Avenue in Columbus. We're located, if you're in the Columbus area, we're located right down the street from the Easton, right around the corner from the airport. You can reach out to us on social media. You can go to Advent, A-D-V-E-N-T, Advent United Church of Christ, a church on Facebook as well as on Instagram. You can reach out to me personally or on social media, Colin A. Jones on Facebook, and C. A-D-A-I-R 68 on Instagram, which is C Adair 68 on Instagram as well. So anyone who wants to come be a part, Advent is a great place. Our vision, our motto is to love God, to love people, period. It really is that simple. Love God, love people, period. You can go to our website. We're about to launch it, adventucc.org. Please connect in any way that you can.
Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you, your amazing, wonderful work, your dynamic family, and your thriving church. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so very much.
And thank you to all of our friends. Oh, thank you for listening. Thank you to this great network. Thank you to Adam H. Thank you for all of you who make this show possible. And we hope somebody told you this today. But just in case they didn't, God loves you. And we do too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima. See you next time.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.